Okay, so a couple halachos of our time of year. We know that one of the minhagim is that if somebody writes a letter to a friend, I don't think anybody writes letters very much today, but I imagine even with an email, you wish kesiva v'chesima tova. A, it enhances our awareness of the time and the others, and it's a good thing always to give a bracha to someone else. And we're told by many that Elul is a time when ideally we should spend time considering the state of our commitment to Yadus and try to do tshuva and try to think of things to improve. Motzei Shabbos, we will start saying Slichos, and we're told that Slichos goes back to the time of the Gionim, right? And we, in the Ashkenazic community, we say at least 4 days. And we always begin, however, on Saturday night. Therefore, if Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday or Shabbos, we start then. And if, on the other hand, the other days it can fall out on Monday and Tuesday, we add a week before, and that's what happened. And it's a Sunday is always chosen for the first day, so there would never be confusion as to what day to start Slichos at any point in time. Okay. And we will continue with this tomorrow. Okay. This week we lay in Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech, which is about 75 Pesukim in total. And Rabbi Aaron Tendler, who writes the Parsha summaries on all the Parsha, says, the time came now, and it's time we've got to take responsibility for who and what we are. We're standing on the threshold of a brand new year, and as we just said, we should take stock of where we stand vis-a-vis our commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. He says, I'll tell you one thing I've learned. The more excuses one has, the less commitment. He says, Moshe continued in his final speech, which was on the last day of his life, and he confronted the primary excuses used in avoiding commitment and responsibility. In Rishon, Moshe presents the people with the basis of our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He starts with the promise Hashem made to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, which stretched across 500 years of history to that point. And the people had seen miracle after miracle. They felt they should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, Moshe warned, future generations may decide, well, we didn't see all this, and maybe we're really not responsible to continue this relationship. Therefore, Moshe makes it abundantly clear that every generation is required to educate their children and train them about our existing covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, the Mesorah requires we should never give a generation, right, a good excuse to abandon Torah and mitzvahs.
And David from Mickey, good morning.
Morning. Moshe said, there's no excuse for ignorance. We've got to learn to teach. Then Moshe addressed the notion that would always exist until Moshiach, the need to modernize the Torah. And Moshe said, in every generation, there will be those who will see the Torah as archaic, outdated. And they will feel that only by taking the new knowledge and the new practices of the time and melding the Torah to those can Judaism begin to exist. Change is needed. And Moshe was saying, I'm going to tell you now that this excuse for altering the Torah will never, ever, ever work. And instead, you end up with destroying Torah observances. You're going to get tossed out of Eretz Yisrael and go into Golis, and you're going to cause tremendous problems for the nation at large. Shani and Shlishi, as history proved, Moshe's warnings would be ignored, and he said so. Later generations would question the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the two of them, the desolation of Eretz Yisroel, and they would not find answers. However, the time will come, and I think many say the Baal Tshuva movement was a herald of this. You're going to see uncommitted people returning to the uncompromised truths and practices of their forefathers. You're going to see a visible tshuva movement, which will continue and will then lead to the fulfillment of brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. Moshe Rabbeinu warned that as we reach the stage where we get a generation of Baalei Tshuva wanting to find their way back, he says, at first blush, many may be overwhelmed and say, how could we access the necessary Torah knowledge? Moshe says, I am promising you now, the Torah is accessible to everybody who wants to be part of Torah observance. You've got to pick yourself up. You've got to say ignorance, right? And prior lack of learning were no excuse. You're going to be given assistance. There will be enough available resources, and I guess rebellion, to help the masses learn about Torah and mitzvahs. In Revi, Moshe turns to the issue of free will. And he says, every human being was given free will, and we've got to choose. And Hashem says, you're responsible for what you choose. Parshas Vayelech, right, connotes that Moshe is 120 years old and notes how he redeemed the people and how he brought Torah down in Shemayim. How he became the unparalleled prophet forever. Will come be Yisrael Moshe Ode. No one ever got up or will get up who has Moshe's strength. And there's a summary of the trials, or there were trials, tribulations, rebellions, conspiracies, disillusion, and questions. All this occurred while Moshe lived. But in spite of it all, Moshe never gave up, and he never gave up on Klal Yisroel. He nurtured the people like they were his children, like a mother cares for a child. He confronted both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and men, right, to protect the relationship. And he succeeded in bringing these people physically and spiritually intact to this point that Yehoshua could bring them in to begin the fulfillment of the 500-year-old promise to Avram. Moshe said, it's now time to put my affairs in order. I've got to finish my work and make sure that there's an unquestioned transition to Yehoshua, one that won't be challenged. Moshe emphasized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to protect Klal Yisroel, even though Moshe is no longer alive. Moshe had the conflicting task of being the daddy to the nation, but trying to explain to them that his powers all came in a Shemayim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the people had to realize that with Moshe passing on, there had to be a methodology for continuing the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, Moshe dying would be cutting off the apron strings. And the other thing that would happen, once Klal Yisroel captured Eretz Yisroel, there were going to be less miracles. They would see more teva, more of God's laws of nature, right? And they would have greater opportunity to say, Koch yiri otzem yadi asaf achayil hazeh. I did what human beings do. This is a human success. If they want, they can detach the Almighty from their successes. And we know that's happened with most of the world, and unfortunately, most of the Jewish people today. We're then taught about Moshe writing the Torah in the total. He gave one Sefer Torah to the tribe of Levi, and the people said, hey, why don't we get one? And we're told that on the last day of his life, Moshe wrote a separate Sefer Torah for each Shevet, something that's impossible and was done al derech neis, but it happened. We're given the mitzvah of Hakel that every 8 years, I think it's after Shemitah on the Shmini Atzeres, the king from Malchus Beis David reads the Torah to the people while he sits in the Azorah and nobody else does. And we're given comment on the importance of the Beis HaMikdash. In Shishi and Shvi, Moshe and Yehoshua were summoned to the Ohel Moed. And we're told what's going to happen till Mashiach comes. Hashem told them that notwithstanding all that you do and all that will happen, the people are going to eventually sin and lose the notion of being dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is going to be punishment and there are going to be severe consequences. And at some stage, the Jewish people would have the chutzpah to blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaving them for the sense of calamities. Had God not abandoned us, right, we would have been okay. We didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take next week's parsha. We call it the Shira Havazinu, right? Which would testify to the reality that leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commands have inevitable consequences. And you can look in the Torah and you can see what's going to happen. And if you're strong enough, you can avoid it. Yehoshua was given encouragement to be strong and courageous and lead the nation with the same devotion that Moshe had given. The Torah, written by Moshe Rabbeinu, was then put in the Aron HaKodesh, in the Aron, as proof of the conditions by which Jewish people are required to live. Okay. See, that's the broad summary of what our two parshas are going to talk about this week. The first parsha begins, Atam Nitzavim Hayon Kochem. You're all standing here today. We just finished last week's parsha with the 98 curses as to what would happen when we disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the people recoiled. They had never heard anything, I guess, so terrible before. And Moshe said to them, you're all standing here today. He said, Medrash, quoted by Rashi, says, the Jewish people collectively turned green on hearing these curses. And they said, that's it. Jewish history will not be. There will never be a nation that can go through such a future and remain. Kenet Zion. We're toast. Moshe called to them and said, hey guys, my job is to calm you down. Yes, it's an awful thing to hear, but don't be worried. Take a look where we are. You're all standing here today. We went through 40 difficult years in the desert. How many times did HaKadosh Baruch Hu become angry? How many times did I have to plead with God Almighty not to destroy you? There was the ego. There were the spies, the Meraglim. There were those who complained for the sake of complaining and were destroyed. And there was Korach. In spite of all these incidents, which were highly significant, we have here a nation of millions of people. You withstood it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept you living. That's the proof that you're going to continue to exist. You need not despair. So, the Mefarshim say, hold on. Moshe seems to be taking the wind out of his own sails. First, he enunciated 98 terrible curses to somehow scare the Jewish people into obedience, as they say, to put the fear of God into them. And it did that. They were terrified. Then he relents, and he says, hang on, you don't have to be so terrified. Which is it? Do you be terrified? Don't you be terrified? You worry about the tochach, or do you say God will keep us? Which is it? And Rabbi Frand writes, quoting from the Mefarshim, there is a vast difference between healthy fear and hopelessness. It is a good thing to have realistic apprehension about a future. It's not healthy to live in a fool's paradise, believing that no matter what I do, it'll all be okay. There are no consequences to what I do. That's good. But if you become hopeless and you throw in the towel, that's not a way for life. That demoralizes a person, a tribe, a nation. Moshe saw that the Jewish people were bordering on demoralization. They began to lose hope, and they were actually going to throw in the towel. That wasn't what he expected would happen. And now, as the father of the nation, he had to bring them back to a level of appropriate apprehension. The Gemara in Bamot Tzia tells us that after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, all the gates of prayer were closed except for the gates of tears. The gates of tears, these are the channels of last resort for the tefillahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never closes them. The Kutzker Rebbe asks, if you're not going to close the gates, why do you need gates? Have an open space. The Kutzker says, not all tears go through. Tears out of desperation and hopelessness, that's not what a Kutzker wants. Despair is not a tefillah that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants, appreciates. A Yid is never allowed to become helpless, never allowed to feel backed in a corner that they've basically got to jump off a cliff. A Yid has got to understand that with a Kaddish Baruch Hu's help, yes, we can survive, and no matter how difficult the situation, there will be a Jewish future. When you give tears with that perspective, they get through. The Ishbitzer Rebbe says, we are called Yehudim, obviously from Yehuda. He says, why are we called Yehudim? He says, you know why? Because when the 11 brothers stood before Yosef in Mitzrayim, the Torah says they were scared, but Yehuda stepped forward and he argued in their defense. Yehuda does not give up. When all seems lost, when there seems to be an overwhelming foe in front of you, Yehuda said, we don't give up. We're a Kaddish Baruch Hu's children. That is a definition of a Yid. We have to be children of Yehuda, knowing that a Kaddish Baruch Hu never abandons us. And they always say, that even if there's a sword on your throat, continue to daven to Hashem, and you've got the possibility of being saved.